Hi, I'm Austin Seekins.
Hi, I'm Zazania Gadam.
And this is the Here's Why Beyond the Walls podcast. This podcast is designed with the intention to reach students where they are and give them the tools to see that our God is simply more than they could imagine. We want to give clarity to the frequently asked questions within our ministry that challenge their everyday walk with Christ, and we want to remind students of God's word that they are not alone in their journey, but do so alongside Christ and a community of believers who love them. Our God is a big God, and while many of us may no longer fall under the category of or identify as students, the Father still has more to teach us. This podcast is to remind us that we are still students of the kingdom, disciples to each other, and servants to a great and awesome God. Welcome to Here's Why Beyond the Walls. Well, hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode. Today, Zan and I are having a conversation about prayer. Why do we pray? How do we pray? When do we know our prayers are answered? And how can we be sure we are praying by God's will? We hope to give clarity to these questions and more with our amazing ministry assistant, Allison Westman. Allison has been on staff here at Pioneer since March, and honestly, before she came along, I have no idea how we operated. Allison receives all the questions that you may have for our ministry and plans and designs every graphic, event, fundraiser, and t-shirt that is attached to our ministry. She even created the graphic for this show, so you know she's official. Allison is more than just making graphics and planning events, though. Allison has a deep faith and a heart for service. If you need something done, you know who to go to. She seems to literally do everything around here. Allison is a jack of all trades, master of every single one of them, and a lifeline for the ministry. Allison, thank you for joining us today.
That was awesome.
That was way too nice.
Welcome.
I was trying to be sweet, okay?
I loved it. Thank you so much. Gasped me up.
That's the truth.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here. I'm very proud of the work that y'all are doing through the podcast, and I'm excited to be a part of it today.
Yeah, we're excited to have you.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, thanks for making time to be here with us and to share your story.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. We are blessed to have you. And I hope that is just not like a written down, pre-prepared introduction about Allison. That's actually her true story. And we just are very blessed to have you, Allison, in the student ministry and the passion that you carry to touch and influence the students' life is amazing. And
thank
that's
you.
True. I'm not saying this for the sake of a podcast, but that's so very true.
You didn't think you were going to get an ego boost.
Well, that was that was all too kind, but I do love what I do, and I love serving this ministry, and I wouldn't be here if I didn't, so.
Well, this is a hefty subject that we're going over today.
Yeah.
Prayer. Prayer is one of those things that we do as Christians that whenever you look at it, it's like, okay, that seems really simple. That seems like the easiest thing in the world to do. I mean, all you're doing is you're literally talking. You're talking to God, but all you're doing is just talking. So you think it would be really easy because most of us really like to talk. But if you've ever prayed before, then you know that it's really not that easy, not that simple to just pray. And I wanted to talk a little bit about why that is exactly. But Allison, first, I wanted to ask you how you first got involved working in youth ministry.
It was kind of a roundabout way. The Lord really pushed me into youth ministry when I didn't even know that I needed it. After leaving my previous career path, I left with no plan, and I left trusting that the Lord had his plan written for me, even when I couldn't see it and I didn't understand it. And I went through a season of waiting and preparing my heart for whatever was next, and like I said, I had no idea what that was. I thought I might have. I had a path in my head that I was creating, but the Lord had a different one, and all kind of aligned it through some yeses and some noes, and ultimately had all of my skills he knew about and he saw and how that would incorporate into this student ministry and the places that this student ministry has gone in the last few months and where it's continuing to go. He has been nothing but faithful through aligning what I do and what I love with ministry, and that's not something I ever thought that would be my journey, and I'm grateful to be his hands and feet, and I'm grateful to have that opportunity. I don't always feel deserving. I've got the imposter syndrome a lot of times when I walk through ministry and when I do the things that I do, but I know that the Lord is behind me and before me, and that's where it's led me. I have a few mentors within this church that saw that light in me and spoke that out and offered me this position, and I took it with faith that the Lord would take care of me and those supervisors would see it through and be mentors for me in this journey through ministry and professional ministry or vocational ministry, if you think a fancy word for it, vocational ministry, and they have been nothing but supportive and encouraging through that.
That seems to be the way that it usually goes. Like, none of us actually decide that we want to be here, but we kind of just get pushed into it one way or another. Nobody really wants to be here, but we kind of feel the need to be, right?
Yeah.
No, we want to be here, but that seems to be the case most of the time.
Yeah.
Very, very thankful that you shared that part, and kind of like, we always have this vision of like, this is how I want my life to be, and but the Lord is working in the scene, but he's using all that experience. It's not of waste. Some people in the world might think like, you got this different degree, but you're in ministry, you wasted this part of your life, but God actually brings all that together, and now here you are, and using that experience to some extent, and you're still able, like last week I think there was an occasion where like, we don't know how this topic comes, but you still use your medicine education into some aspect of your ministry, and it's still happening. So it kind of like, I felt led to ask this question. Anyone can answer and pop, try to answer this question. It's like, there is this like our will and God's will. And when we come to pray, sometimes we are always, as humans, we tend to pray our will all the time. Mm-hmm. I know, how do we navigate through that, Allison? Like, how you have seen your personal story and your experiences, like, I have my own story, I bet Austin has his own story. It's like, how do we try to, sometimes it's hard, like, I want my plan to go forward, not God's plan, but sometimes your hand is forced on some things and you just, it's like, okay, God, I guess I have to go this way now. Mm-hmm. Like, I know I put too many words over there, but how do you see that? Like, I know praying is important in our life, but how do we pray according to God's will?
Right. I think that is a question that requires looking into scripture and looking into personal testimony. On the first end of that, the verse that I look to when I'm thinking about prayer and the reason for prayer is in 1 Corinthians 2, when it's talking about how our minds are being exchanged for the mind of Christ. My mind is not capable of seeing the outcome of God's will in my life. I have no ability to do that. My mind is selfish. My mind is self-motivated and self-driven. And that's not necessarily bad, but if it's not aligned with God's will, then it's useless. And so by submitting our lives to Jesus and following the Lord's will and aligning our prayer with that intent, we are able to see God's will, not by our own strength, but through the Holy Spirit, who is working in our minds and hearts, so that way we can see situations differently and that we can follow and be obedient to the will of God in our lives, even when it makes no sense.
Yeah.
In my personal walk with prayer, in the last year, my life has been a million different places and in a million different jobs, it feels like. And there was a point in my previous position where I was struggling so much with my mental health. I got diagnosed with ADD, anxiety, depression, all in one therapy session, and it was and it rattled my brain, but also provided me a lot of clarity and answers for the why my brain acts the way it does sometimes. And through my job and through some life experience that I was walking through, I battled every single day with mental health struggles that I had never experienced before. And it's weird when one day your brain feels normal and neurotypical, and then the like in the turn of a page, it feels completely out of whack. And when that happens for so long, you get diagnosed with a chronic depression episode, or something that is so out of your control and it's so routine that your brain has made it a habit. And that is what I was walking through, and I would, that was the time where I was so consistent in my prayer life because I had nothing else to cling to. My mind didn't make sense to my own mind. My body didn't make sense. I was throwing up every day, and I was completely unhealthy and at a loss for where to turn in my own mind and how I would like personally navigate that struggle because it was all so new to me. And so there was a point where I think I was praying that, okay, I need to feel better because I have to be able to do this day and be in front of students and teach and be like myself. So Lord, take this away. I feel horrible. Like, I'll do whatever I need to do. I go to the counseling, I go and to the doctors and I seek medical professionals, and it still isn't enough. And I need you to just take it away. And if that would be ideal. And what I thought was ideal was not, in fact, the Lord's will. And so there was a point in that period where just by almost being forced and having no other option, Lord, whatever it is that needs to happen, like, your will be done, because I have nothing else to give as my physical human strength and in my mind and in my heart. And through that, the Lord revealed to me a lot of things through people and through Holy Spirit and His presence that gave me the permission to step away when it was no longer aligning with the Lord's will and aligning with what I've been called to do and who I've been called to be. And that didn't feel right in the moment, but I had to trust that that was not of the world, but of the Lord, because it absolutely made no sense to me or anyone around me. And I just had to be obedient in that. And so, long story short, that's my personal testimony of when I was praying something for my will, and I was almost forced to pray for the Lord's will because I had nothing else left to give.
Yeah, Allison, you almost made me cry over there. I would have cried if this was not a podcast.
We're not going to show any emotion.
Stoic only.
I liked how you touched so many subjects in your story over there about prayer. You talked about obedience. You talked about God's will. You talked about your will. You talked about things not making sense. You talked about, I wish there is a clarity right now. And you talked about, I don't know what to do apart from praying. So I'm very, like, those are big subjects. Like, we could touch each of those subjects and just sit on, like, an hour, at least minimum, for each of those episodes. And I kind of, like, want to ask this another question again. Austin, you're also welcome to
add to that. Yeah, I want to say one thing just real fast. Thank you for sharing that, because I know that was, like, that was a lot to hear and a lot to say. Sometimes, that answering of the prayer is not in the way of God taking something away, but helping you go through them or forcing you to go through them in order for you to draw other people closer to him and teach through those moments, because sometimes God's will doesn't make sense to us, but he's still working, and it's still working for good.
It's amazing to see there is this will that you are pursuing, and this is God's will that he was asking you to be here, but you didn't hear him right. But that doesn't mean that, I mean, that part of your story is waste. Mm-hmm. That, like, you are seeing that part of your story actually play the role in your life right now that you are doing, and you're here like, I want to help everyone possible to how to navigate through that situation. So I kind of want to want the listeners to know that no part of your story is of waste. No part of your story is of no value to God. Like God, like Austin said, God puts us through those situations so that we can hold on to him. So kind of like, I want to ask another question leading up to that. Like, is prayer a need, or is like, it's okay? Or is like, this is a must for me in my life. And why do we have to pray? It's like, kind of, I know we answered this question through our panel last Wednesday, but I'd like for us to answer that question. Like, it's hard, like, to sit there and pray. Like you said, like, it's not easy to always know that you have to pray. That's not the first thing that we think of, but the scriptures is asking that's the first thing that you need to think of, which is not easy to do. But the good thing we have is Jesus has done that for us. But again, I still want to open this question to any one of us to answer. Like, why do we have to pray? Is it a must? Or like, how? What do you guys think about that?
I think prayer is pretty important. I mean, just through our discussion over what exactly the Bible is, we can see that there's so many different interpretations and ways of reading scripture and ways that may not always be 100% correct or 100% in line with God's will. You know, people have used the Bible to do things that are not Christian-like and have used the Bible as a weapon rather than as something that is for love. So utilizing prayer and making prayer something that is vital to our own spiritual life helps us to use the Bible and use God's word in a way that is beneficial, in a way that is loving, instead of just being used as something that, a tool to put forward a certain agenda or a certain way of thinking that may not be actually, you know, good for everybody. So I think prayer is your number one go-to for following God's will.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The question I thought of when I was preparing to come on to the podcast today was the point of prayer, because if God is all sovereign and all knowing, why do we pray? Why does he need us to pray? If he's got it all handled, then what's the point of us talking to him? And we see in Exodus when Moses is up on the mountains and receiving the Ten Commandments and receiving the law, he intercedes for the Israelites who are at the bottom of the mountain throwing a party, building a calf. They've just been led through the Red Sea out of slavery, and they are panicked because for 3 days their leader Moses is gone, and so they just throw it all out the window. Yeah. And that is infuriating and confusing and so upsetting to God, because he has been nothing but faithful and enduring to them. And so as Moses is praying and talking with God, he is interceding on the Israelites' behalf, reminding himself and reminding God of his promises to the Israelite people, and that God can orchestrate and design that situation to show us that prayer is important, and he cares deeply about the things that we pray for and the people that we're praying about. And in that moment, God had mercy on the Israelites and was, instead of destructive, he was faithful and redemptive, and even when he didn't have to be. And so that's a very early example of how God uses our prayer to show his faithfulness and his love towards other people. The other thing I thought about was Jesus was prayerful. He was prayerful in his entire life in an entire time of ministry. Yeah. In my head,
Jesus was God.
Why did he need to pray? That he was perfect and holy, and so he should be self-sufficient if he is God. Yeah. But he instead was prayerful, and it was his perfectness and holiness that led him to pray and to align his spirit with the spirit of his Father, and showing us how to pray and being that example for us, and that being a personal relationship between Jesus and God, and then us as people too. And so
I really like that. Jesus was, like you said, he was God, he was human, yes, but he not only taught us to pray for God's will, but he followed and prayed, Lord, may your will be done. And he showed that throughout his life. And I'm really, like, I'm glad that you mentioned that. It's like, sometimes it's like, well, I don't have to pray. God knows my everything, what I need. Is like, he can take care of my things. It's like, well, Jesus came in God's will, so he also didn't have to pray, but he still did. And we could go always saying, like, God still prays. I mean, he showed us, he sent us the path to how to do it in all the situations of life.
Right.
And it kind of, like, my answer to that question also is, like, it shows us the relationship that we have with God. Like, we need to have that continued conversation. For any relationship to be solid, I think a relationship with him should grow. And it also shows our dependence on God and telling him, like, well, I am not God. I know you are God, so I'm depending on you. And this is why I want to pray. And in the Lord's Prayer also, you see, like, Jesus, when he's praying, he's teaching us to pray. He's not saying, give me the bread, daily bread. Give me not the temptations, but he's saying, give us our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. So he's also showing us the emphasis about the community prayer. It's not only myself, but when I'm praying, I'm also supposed to be praying for others. And also for me, in my personal life, it's very important. But he is showing me how to pray for others also.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like someone in the panel asked, like, how can we pray for our enemies, like us, like when people are hurting? My answer to that question is, like, Jesus was on the cross and they were hurting him. And he says, like, Lord, they do not know what they're doing. Forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. It's like he again showed us the example of how to pray in those circumstances. And kind of like leading up to that one, I also want to ask, like, fasting and praying, like, what do you all think about it?
I took a spiritual formations class as my first year seminar, and I had to practice intermittent fasting. And in those times where I found myself hungry, I was supposed to be praying. And me not being as spiritually sound or as concrete in my faith as I was then, I thought that was the dumbest thing in the world. Because I was hungry. I wanted to eat a hamburger, dude.
Mocking prayer.
So, like, whenever I got to that 1 hour that I got to eat per day, dang, it was just, I would just eat up, like, a whole store of just food. Like put four meals into one and then have that be my sustenance. But upon looking back at it now, I know that's not the point of what that was supposed to be. It was supposed to be whenever I needed something in my reliance on something, I'd be praying to God that he'd provide for me. And I now understand that now and understand the importance of that. But then it just seemed kind of weird and crazy. Mm-hmm. Fasting sounds weird, you know, because, like, why wouldn't you just go and eat? But it's about that reliance on God. So I feel like it's pretty important, if not practicing, to recognize its importance or to recognize why the practice would be effective, because it teaches you to rely on God's providence rather than your own. So.
Right. I agree. I think it's also a form of worship that we can completely submit our hearts, minds, body, and strength to the Lord's will and allow his spirit to speak into those moments of desperation and of need. And so in a time where you're hungry or in need of something, if you're fasting, not necessarily food, but time with your social media or whatever the case may be. A lot of people fast different things, and I think they all have their benefit, but allowing God to step into those spaces with you when you struggle and when you're tempted, to show you that he's what you need.
Yeah.
And he is what will provide those things that you need, and that you feel deprived of. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's...
Yeah, I really like that. It's a form of us showing that we are surrendering to God, and it's a form of worship. And as I was doing my homework about this podcast, I was listening to another podcast where someone else had to say, don't ask me the name, I'm really bad. But it's like... In that podcast, it was actually a sermon turned into a podcast. It was saying it's a form of not feeding your physical body, but feeding your spirit. And that's kind of like, it kind of really stood out to me, because feeding our spirit is very important in a world that we live in today. Because while Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights praying and fasting, the enemy tempted him of various things, but Jesus never gave into those because his spirit was strong. His spirit was firm, and he was feeding his spirit in that time, and the Holy Spirit was ministering to him in his wilderness. And I think that's what also happens along with the fasting, whatever that is anyone is fasting from. But back in India, I used to fast all day or 40 days completely, and have maybe just liquids and not food, solid food. My dad literally goes all in. He's a pastor back in India. He goes all in, no food, nothing, just probably a cup of milk once a day, and that's pretty much how he used to go. And I know people who do that, and I've seen people fast from sugar. I've seen people fast from dairy. I've seen people fast from social media, like you said. I've seen people fast from not watching movies, and there are different ways of fasting. I think that's very fascinating and interesting to do that. But in all those things, trying to have the goal of spending time with the Lord and showing our dependence on him, like you said, Allison, and also feeding our spirit so that when temptations and challenges come, our spirit is strong to face those things. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I got into a preaching mode over there.
That's great. Yeah.
But I think that was really really fascinating to just have that perspective.
Very fascinating.
Fascinating.
Is that the name of our podcast?
Fascinating.
Okay, perfect.
But I have. Another question related to prayer is, like, Austin, you wrote a devotional about constantly praying, and we kind of sat and talked about it, constantly praying. How does that look like? What does that mean, like, constantly praying? A question related to that, is there a difference between constantly praying and persistently praying, or there is no difference at all?
I think that's how you define constantly and persistently. So whenever I think of those two words, I think of them as synonyms. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I know that prayer isn't just you huddling down and speaking words in a group or by yourself or in silence. It's not just you saying nice words to God. It's in your actions as well. Prayer is also how you live out your life and how you worship God. So a constant mode of prayer to me, I guess, is just how you live out your everyday life. And a persistent prayer is how you convey that through the pretty words that you say in a group setting. But I don't know exactly if those are two different things, because if your life is being lived in the will of God, then that shouldn't really be a difference there in those two things.
I think one of them, I don't even know which, but I feel like there is a difference between praying constantly, meaning like you're practicing that, like you're doing small breath prayers throughout the day, or you're like, okay, help me with this test, Lord. I've studied, but I need memory assistance, or whatever the case may be, and you're just constantly praying it throughout your day. I think there's that, and there's not necessarily anything wrong with that, but allowing prayer to transform how you live your life as a life of worship and of surrender to the Lord's will, and allowing prayer to be your like priority before you're entering a situation, and it being a constant conversation with a friend through prayer. And so I don't know which word aligns with which, but that's when I think of praying constantly, it might just be like a checkbox kind of thing. But maybe praying persistently would be praying with the intention that your life is transformed into a life of worship because of consistent prayer, and allowing that to transform your heart and mind.
I mean, when we put prayer into a box, we mitigate what it actually is for, right? You know, if we use prayer only at the beginning, or like you're about to eat a meal, then that's what prayer, that's all that prayer is so that you can check your box off your list of things that you have to do, or after you've given a lesson in Sunday school, like now we have to pray and pray that what we talked about is going to resonate in our lives. But if it's not something that we do on a regular basis, then those prayers don't really mean too much because there's no sustenance to them.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hearing both of you say like prayer should be a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Like, I read this book by Paul Miller, which is about prayer, which is saying praying life. And in that also, he kind of says like, our life should be a life of prayer constantly, and it persistently for me has the word have a little bit, I agree they're synonyms, but I feel like there's a slight difference. Like persistent is like you persistently pray about one subject again and again and again and again until it's answered, or until the Lord shows his plan and his will in it. And and I also think like there is this constant, like we, our hearts should be in a posture of prayer. Our life should be in a posture of prayer. And there are several examples, like we see that in Genesis 32, Jacob wrestling with God. And he ends up breaking his back when the Lord grants him his will. And Jesus shares two parables in Luke 13 and Luke 18 talking about, in Luke 18, it's about the parable of the persistent widow and an unjust judge. And there is another place, Luke 13, where it's about a persistent friend, where like you keep asking God and you keep putting your prayer out there so the Lord hears you, and he finally is going to answer by providing something or explaining through instances, dreams or visions, or through sermons explaining why he's not answering that prayer, or things like that. But I really like that you both emphasized on, we didn't talk about this, is like prayer should be a lifestyle, and like surrender, making our life a posture of being in prayer, which I think is really beautiful. Can we master it? No. How can we master it? Keep practicing it. I think, I know I kind of threw a bunch of those Bible verses out there. I would ask you all to go read it and check through those Bible verses about how, what it talks about prayer, what Jesus was saying, and those things.
And I'll add it to the description notes.
Yeah, thank you, Allison.
Yet another thing that Allison does for us.
Yep. It'll be there. I want to ask the question also, what do y'all think about unanswered prayers? If my accent plays well, really, over there.
Unanswered
prayers. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on it? I can go out and throw this Bible verse or instance where Jesus is in prayer in Gethsemane, or however American accent plays into that, and he prays like, "Lord, if this is your will, take this cup away from me."
Right.
I personally think it's an unanswered prayer. Please push back against that thought. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, do you think no is an answer?
See, that's a good question. It's like, yeah.
Because it doesn't have to be yes to be an answer.
And
that doesn't mean that it's easy and that no, or maybe the waiting in between the direct answer is what's like frustrating to us in the waiting game of our timeline and what we are expecting God to do in a 2-week period or whatever the case may be. And so I think that it's challenging in a worldly perspective when we want instant gratification of a yes or a direct no, but maybe that silence is a no or it's a wait. And then I think what gives me comfort in that instead of frustration is that God knows that it's hard, because Jesus said, "If it is your will, take this cup from me." He's not forgetful that waiting is painful for us a lot of times.
Yeah.
Last year in the period of my waiting and my prayer, I was patient, but I was also irritated because I was sick every single day. Mm-hmm. I did not feel like myself physically or mentally. And that waiting period was painful and hard, but that doesn't mean that the Lord was far from me and that he wasn't aware of that struggle. And so I just think taking comfort in the fact that in the waiting or in the no, that the Lord is there and cares about that pain and that grief and that sorrow, and that allows that no to also be filled with the joy of the Lord in the midst of sorrow and unanswered prayers or prayers that are a no or a maybe or a wait.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I don't think there's any such thing as an unanswered prayer, just answers that you don't like the answer to. especially like with anxiety and depression and things like that. I could never understand why God would allow me or allow other people, or like you, Allison, why he would allow us to go through those kinds of things, because they suck.
Yeah.
But I know that through those things and through my own experience is that it's created a direct reliance on God that I don't think I would have otherwise. Mm. It's made me have to submit everything to God's will, or I'm not going to be able to function.
Mm.
I don't even work properly if I don't. So God can still work through those things, even though I would much rather him take it away. I know that he's working through them and is still providing for me even whenever it sucks.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think unanswered prayers are an answer in itself. And sometimes it's the Lord saying, well, I know what you mean, but that's not what I'm going to give you, what you're asking, but I'm going to give you something better. I'm going to give you something, not right now, but in future. But that's, we won't get those kind of prayers. Like, I like what you said, Allison. It's the waiting. It's sometimes maybe, sometimes not yet. It's like, so some of those unanswered prayers in the moment are unanswered, but I think sometimes it's like, not yet. Like, I will give you that, but you're not ready for that yet. He knows the timing of those things. The Lord knows, and he will answer. And some of those unanswered prayers are answer in itself, because God knows what he is going to give us in line with what we are asking. And going back to the instant of me saying, Jesus praying and he's saying, Lord, if this is your will, kind of refer this, Austin, we talked about this on a different subject, is like God answered Jesus's prayer and took that away from me, and his plan after that would have been in vain. Like, Jesus coming to this earth would have been in vain. I think God answered that prayer, even putting Jesus through that, so that today you and I, we all can experience this salvation in Jesus. And I think that's a way of answering, God's way of answering that prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked, Austin, that you also mentioned, like, our prayers should be continuous. And sometimes we just have to give up, knowing that God has this. He's got this, because his power is made perfect in our weaknesses. And Paul says in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I think we are at that point where I would like for our listeners to have some resources. Do you all have any prior resources that you can think of that you would like to share? Obviously, listen to this one. but sermons, others like books.
Another podcast that I listen to is The Bible for Normal People. Pete Inns and Jared Bias. They go over a whole lot of topics, and one of their biggest things is what is the Bible and what is prayer? So I think they do an excellent job of covering that subject. I think that's a great resource to use. A book that you can use, the Bible. I think that's great. Yeah. And there is a plethora of online resources that you can use, but utilize discernment.
Yes.
And whenever you are using such resources, maybe approach them alongside Christ.
Yeah.
So that you're not being pointed in a direction that is counter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And refer it back to the scriptures and kind of like that. Awesome.
Don't just take anything at face value for what it is.
Yeah.
Use your own discretion and utilize prayer to help you with this concept of prayer, the question of prayer.
Yeah. I think that I have a few resources. The first one being how do we pray? What's the template of how we pray? And you can see throughout scripture, there's so many recorded prayers from start to finish. The one that Paul prays in Philippians, chapter 3, 9 through 11, he's praying that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insights so that you may determine what really matters. That's a big prayer. I think a lot of times I minimize my prayer of, okay, help us travel safely to this location when I'm traveling. And those aren't necessarily wrong, but just understanding the boldness in which we hear prayer in scripture and kind of seeing how characters and people through scripture prayed, I think, is an important way. Hannah, in scripture, she says, I'm vexed and afflicted. She's honest with God. She's not afraid of those feelings, and she brings all of those feelings to God with submission and realization that that's where she is. And then in the Book of Lamentations, they're honest about their grief and their sadness and their sorrow and bringing those to God with honesty and vulnerability, I think is a great way that we can see it. The book I would recommend if you're wanting to start maybe a prayer routine is there's a Praying Through the Psalms or Praying the Psalms by Don Whitney, which gives you 5 psalms a day for you to read and look through. And then once you read them, you choose one to pray through for that day. So by the end of the month, it's like a full month process. You've read all of the Psalms and you've prayed through 30 of them. Wow. And so that would be a good routine to get into. I've made a resource of a prayer tactic that I like to do called breath prayer. It's coming from multiple different resources, meditating on scripture and things like that. I will share that document into the show notes so that way you can find what I've found helpful, especially praying through anxiety and anxiety attacks. And those won't necessarily go away, but that is a great grounding technique that I've found and that the Lord has really spoken to me through.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thanks for sharing that. And there's a book that I read called, as I mentioned earlier, it's by Paul Miller. It's called A Praying Life. If this is a high school or middle school senior reading this book, I would recommend you guys to read this book in a group. Don't read it on your own, because it kind of has some depth to it. I'd like for you all to read that in a group setting. Go to some of these resources that our guest Allison mentioned and also Austin mentioned. And, always go back to the Bible. There are a bunch of prayer stories over there. Some of those conversations that the people of God are having with God are prayers. And how do we translate that and read through those things and go to your elders, go to your parents. I think the amount of wisdom that we are trying to share over here comparatively is very less when you look at who are 70 years old, like, mm-hmm. and they have experienced this life, and their version of prayer is totally even mind-blowing, if I could say that. So go refer to all these resources, and like we said, make prayer your lifestyle. I really like that. And this is the beginning of the conversation that you can continue to have for the rest of your life. So I would recommend the listeners to do that. And I have one word to say, like I said in the panel, if you were over there last Wednesday, prayer is an open secret. It's a weapon that God has given us, and you will never know the power of it until you get to use it. So, yeah, pray for us also, and we'll continue to pray for the listeners.
Consistently and persistently, constantly.
Yes. Any concluding words, Austin and then Allison?
Thanks for having me on. Thank you for listening to all of my stories and all of my words and notes that I had for today. And I just encourage, as you're growing in your prayer life or starting a new prayer life that you've never experienced before, be patient with yourself. And we're not perfect. I'm not claiming to know all the answers or how to pray perfectly. I'm still growing and learning. And like Zan said, we're young in this faith, and we're growing and learning every day. So give yourself patience and grace, and allow the Lord to teach you what you need to be prayerful and be prayerfully consistent. Everyone needs different things. Our minds are created uniquely and differently. Mm-hmm. And so find that way that works for you and that aligns with the Lord's will, and that aligns your mind with that will. I think that you're going to hit a wall if you're trying the same thing over and over, and it's not fruitful in your life. So mm-hmm. be patient in that process and finding what works for you, and try those resources.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be on your knees, hands folded, morning and night. Everyone works differently. Those aren't necessarily bad ways of doing it, and routine is good, but everyone needs something different.
Well, sorry to cut the conversation short, but Austin needs to be somewhere. But thank
Austin,
you, Allison,
why would
for
we
being
do
on.
This to me?
I know. Thank you, Allison, for joining us and providing your wisdom.
Yeah.
And we'll see y'all next week.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.